So, apologies, Alice. In one of the afterwords to Alice Miller's book, because we're asking, is authentic thought a route to the recovery of our spontaneous feelings? Proudhon's going to have something to say on that. In one of the afterwords, her tone is different. She's less optimistic. Quote, a younger, very empathic colleague whose work I regard highly became in the course of their conversation increasingly reflective and then said very slowly, you know, now I wonder if what is called pedagogy may not be simply a question of power, and if we shouldn't be speaking and writing much more about hidden power struggles instead of racking our brains about finding better ways, better methods of child rearing. That's exactly what I've tried to do in the book that I've just finished, I said, Alice replied. And my comment on this, i.e., she is very much aware of the larger political implications of systematically inculcated obedience in the population. She is aware that this training originates in a very self-aware elite, that this elite is concerned both with the establishment of the state as well as with securing its tribes top place within a global hierarchy of states and statesmen, and that she believes that her writing, disseminated more broadly, will, like one of the waves of authentic thought that occur continuously throughout the story of class, that her writing will contribute to a general awakening of the need to demand as our right the conditions globally that will allow each one of us to be fully developing individualities. But still, does this answer the question of her colleague, if he's thinking along the same lines as we? Continuing with Alice, it is the tragedy of well-raised people that they are unaware as adults of what was done to them and what they do themselves if they were not allowed to be aware as children. And I have to comment again. It's interesting to juxtapose this statement about well-raised people with the observation of America's first anarchist, Josiah Warren, about whom we will be reading in a moment, that, quote, the failure of this enterprise, and he's speaking of a form of what was called mutualism, that the failure of this enterprise was chiefly due to the suppression of individuality and the lack of initiative and responsibility. These defects, he taught, were inherent to every scheme based upon authority and community of goods. He advocated, therefore, complete individual liberty, unquote, i.e., he, Josiah Warren, and as did Kropotkin, saw that obedience to authority was being trained into the middle class, and that this included the left, which Warren, at least, may have presumed to be the ones to, quote-unquote, lead us. So obedience was seen well before Alice as a problem to overcome, a matter for contemplation. What was not seen, perhaps, was that the problem of obedience was a matter of suppressed spontaneous feelings due to an intentional scheme of child-rearing systematically driven by those who would become Plato's tribesmen. Continuing with Alice. Countless institutions in our society profit from this fact, and not least among them are totalitarian regimes. In this age, when almost anything is possible, psychology can provide devastating support for the conditioning of the individual, the family, and whole nations. Conditioning and manipulation of others are always weapons and instruments in the hands of those in power, even if these weapons are disguised with the terms education and therapeutic treatment. Since one's use and abuse of power over others usually have the function of holding one's own feelings of helplessness in check, which means the exercise of power is often unconsciously motivated I have to read this again. I have a hard time with this sentence. Apology. Since one's use and abuse of power over others usually have the function of holding one's own feelings of helplessness in check, which means the exercise of power is often unconsciously motivated, rational arguments can do nothing to impede this process. And my comment on this, these folks, the ones who hide, the ones who hoard the coin to tie us to strings of their own making, are like a machine that cannot stop on its own. And in being obedient, we stimulate their need to destroy us. And we're going to have to think on that, on whether that's overstatement or not. Continuing with Alice. In the same way that technology was used to help carry out mass murders in the Third Reich in a very short space of time, so too, the more precise kind of knowledge of human behavior based on computer data and cybernetics can contribute to the more rapid, comprehensive, and effective soul murder of the human being than could the earlier intuitive psychology. There are no measures available to halt these developments. Psychoanalysis cannot do it. Indeed, it is itself in danger of being used as an instrument of power in the training institutes. All that we can do, as I see it, is to affirm and lend our support to the human objects of manipulation in their attempts to become aware and help them become conscious of their malleability and articulate their feelings, so they will be able to use their own resources to defend themselves against the soul murder that threatens them. But my comment, Alice, what if the human objects of manipulation is the vast majority of us, is what we are pondering today? And we can't help but wonder whether her younger colleague might have been thinking of the problem of obedience more globally, its role in a system of power, whether he may have been thinking of hidden power more globally, i.e., our power guys, the global state statesmen, and their hidden global totalitarian scheming and clandestine aggregation of means. Planning well established at the time of Alice's writing of her work on hidden cruelty in child rearing. Whether so or no, we are able, thanks to the analytical advances of the good folks we owe, to open the door on power's scheme and see the larger power struggle reality and confirm that the global scene must loom large in our planning, simultaneously with the hidden state within. And we must discuss how the coerced work system is a form of infiltration, how it automatically converts us into unconscious agents, how it automatically, readily supports and fuels and becomes the basis of a totalitarian system. Because the scope, scale, and militaristic intentionality behind the scheming of these global power guys is a scale of threat completely disproportionate to their numbers. They have a target, us. They literally want us to stop thinking. And a comment my son made recently says this well. They don't need to lock down thought. They need to lock down thinking. I.e., with enough diversions, technological toys for the privileged, violent assaults and war in the states targeted for the continuous disruption of people's lives, they believe this can be accomplished. They literally want us to stop thinking. You know, I live in Berkeley, where recently the director of the library, there used to be a committee of a lot of folk, a whole bunch of folk. I forget the exact number, but it was quite a number of librarians who would decide whether or not a book would be destroyed. Well, this guy got rid of that committee and in its place installed a committee of, I think, something like two. And on the down low, 40,000 books were simply destroyed, wiped out. And he lost his job. But, you know, these guys don't care about a job. I mean, you know, they got the backing of folk and they can get them any, they can get them another job. They can get them other means to live. We have to start understanding how power operates behind scenes and that we need to start simply accepting that as a given and starting the discussions of our future, of a future based on individual power and self-sufficiency, our individual ownership of our own gifts. All to say on this library director that I recently did a search and an expanded search throughout a broader region for a book I used a lot in the course of thinking through these issues, Sebastian de Grazia's Of Time, Work, and Leisure. I mean, it's a classic, as they say. And it was not to be found. That they could eliminate a book like that, I mean, that just gives you a sense of the level to which they do not want us to think.